Welcome. I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com.
And this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, welcoming you back to another edition of New World Next Week at NewWorldNextWeek.com. And it has been a few weeks since our last episode, and that is completely my fault. So I'd like to thank you all for your patience hanging in there while we get this episode out. Of course, I was working on the Federal Reserve documentary, working exceptionally hard to get that finished. So there was no New World Next Week for the last couple of weeks. But here we are once again to go through three stories from around the world that are making headlines right now, and that we're going to get into in some depth. So, James, what have we got up first?
Well, James, it is officially summer now, and you know what that means? War in Israel, as Israel steps up its offensive against Hamas. We'll take this from the Washington Post, and offensive being the operative word. Israel ramped up its offensive on the Hamas-run Gaza Strip on Wednesday. That's today as I come to you, July 9th. Bombing more than 100 targets overnight as Palestinian militants fired rockets deep into Israeli territory, striking beyond Tel Aviv in the country's coastal high-tech corridor. Since the Israeli offensive, which it already has a name, Operation Protective Edge, began Tuesday, Israel has attacked more than 450 sites in Gaza, including launch pads and weapon caches. In addition, dozens of homes have been targeted, and most of the Gazans killed so far have been killed in their homes. The Israeli operation against Hamas in Gaza is the third major assault since 2008, and the background, which was developing as we were away from New World Next Week, this all follows weeks of rising Israeli-Palestinian tensions after the alleged kidnapping of and killing of three Israeli teens in the occupied West Bank, which Israel blamed on Hamas, and the suspected alleged revenge killing of an Arab youth in East Jerusalem. Since these abductions of the three Israelis last month, mortar rounds, rocket shells have been fired at Israel almost daily from Gaza, including almost 100 this past Monday, this according to the Israeli military. In a sign that the cross-border conflict could widen, Israel said Tuesday that it called up 1,500 reservists and was mobilizing two infantry brigades, artillery, combat bulldozers, and tanks along the Gaza border in preparation for a possible ground invasion. James, the Israeli cabinet subsequently approved the call-up of an additional 40,000 army reservists. This, again, according to the defense ministry. Some of the relateds that I have: Hamas allegedly attempted to hit the nuclear reactor in Dimona. James, this is a developing story, but one that we've seen 100 times over and over again.
Sadly, you are correct there, and I think, unfortunately, again, you're right to frame this. It's summer. It must be time for another bombing and invasion of occupied Gaza. So, again, yes, absolutely tragic what is happening right now, and for more on that, we can turn to a number of different sources, including one that both you and I have interviewed in the not-so-distant past, Eva Bartlett, with her In Gaza blog, where she has a post up right now honoring the dead, advocating for the living, that starts out by saying, "The sheer genocidal power of these bombs being criminally dropped on Palestinian homes and hospitals is horrific. Strategic strikes my ass." And of course, it certainly has been the case that this is being framed as basically collective punishment for an isolated and one-off type incident. So it certainly is just absolutely brutal what is happening right now. And to compound on that, of course, we had the story a few days ago. We'll take it from The Guardian. U.S. cousin of murdered Palestinian, I was attacked by Israeli police. A 15-year-old American high school student whose Palestinian cousin was abducted and murdered last week has said that he was brutally beaten by Israeli police in an unprovoked attack amid riots in East Jerusalem because he just happened to have the wrong color skin and the wrong name and the wrong place at the wrong time, even though he's actually from Tampa, Florida. He's not Palestinian directly. So again, just some horrific things going on right there. And as you say, it's a developing story, so one we'll definitely have to keep our eye on as it continues to develop.
This was also something I talked about with my last appearance on Deadline Live with our mutual friend Jack Blood. I'll include a link to that where we not only talked about the situation in the Middle East and the border wars there, but I think the parallel story that's also been playing out wildly and widely over the last few weeks is our own border crisis here in America. The latest I can give for you is the White House requests $4 billion in emergency funds for the border crisis. I call it a bailout. Having said that, James, let's move to our second story this week as we turn a little techie. We can take it from Zero Hedge and tweeted by our friend at CounterbalanceT on Twitter. Wall Street joins U.S. intelligence cronies to form the Fascist Cyber War Council. Want to hear the worst idea in the history of horrible ideas? How about we take the industry responsible for destroying the U.S. economy and wrecking the lives of tens of millions of people and allow it to create a government industry cyber war council? It appears that trillions in taxpayer bailouts just simply isn't enough for Wall Street. Noting that it can seemingly get whatever it wants whenever it wants it, the industry is now positioning itself to overtly control U.S. cyber policy. What could possibly go wrong? The man behind this push appears to be ex-NSA Chief Keith Alexander, who, as Zero Hedge noted last month, is now pimping advice to Wall Street banks for $1 million a month. One of Mr. Alexander's most high-profile clients is Wall Street's largest lobbying group, the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, SIFMA. Unsurprisingly, SIFMA is behind this latest push to formally merge Wall Street with the government intelligence apparatus, and it seems like Mr. Alexander isn't wasting any time. A lot of this sources back to a report from Bloomberg that notes, in quotes, Wall Street's biggest trade group has proposed a government industry cyber war council. So that's not just the crazy conspiracy people making up cyber war council. That's their terminology. To stave off terror attacks that could trigger financial panic by temporarily wiping out account balances, this according to an internal document. And again, it gets into the proposal by SIFMA. The trade association, SIFMA, also reveals in the document that SIFMA has retained the aforementioned NSA director, Keith Alexander, to facilitate the joint effort with the government. Alexander, in turn, has brought in, wait for it, Michael Chertoff. That's right, the former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security and, of course, his firm, Chertoff Group. So a couple of the other tweets and links to Russia Today, as well as to my own cyberspacewar.com, Wall Street gets former NSA chief to help banks create a cyber war council. James.
Well, it should, unfortunately, again, be no surprise to us that Wall Street is joining up with the intelligence agencies to try to usurp this power to declare cyber war or whatever it is exactly that's going on here. Because, of course, the Wall Street really is the intelligence agencies in a key sense. And if for anyone who knows the history of the intelligence agencies in the United States, they were founded and populated by either Wall Street people directly or Wall Street lawyers were basically the people who started to found what we now know of as the U.S. intelligence community back in the days of the National Security Act. So, again, it should be no surprise that Wall Street is just trying to overtly take control of the steering wheel here. And, of course, just like everything else, the bankers love to have the gun to our head so that they can always declare in the name of, well, you don't want the economy to crash, so you have to give us this power. We've seen it time and time again. We see a similar thing happening over in Europe where Hungary is trying to pass a law that would basically try to collect some bad loan debts or to get rid of some usurious loan fees from the banking industry there. And the banks in Europe are going, you can't do that. You can't regulate us. It'll crash the economy. So again, just another example of that phenomenon. It's always in the interest of saving Wall Street because we wouldn't want them to go away now, would we? Anyway, unfortunately, again, it's no surprise what's going on here, and I think we have to be very, very wary and cognizant of the fact that the whole cyber war agenda is playing out right now, and there absolutely is going to be some form of incident that comes along in the future, whether real or fake, whether perpetrated by an outside force or an inside force, whether allowed to happen or simply happening, whatever form it takes, there will be a cyber Gulf of Tonkin, and we have to be ready for that and absolutely resist whatever is coming in the wake of that, the iPatriot Act and everything else.
James, I also want to note and thank our man Brock West at Asia Pacific Perspective for not only posting this story to Cyberspace War, but also for helping keep Corbett Report and Media Monarchy updated, and we appreciate all his hard work. I think the other note I would make about the background on Wall Street and the intelligence agencies, a lot of that great work has been done, again, by our good friend Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com. We'll include a link to some of his work. Our third and final story this week comes with caution, as our friend Daniel at We Are Third notes, the following may cause a numbing sensation. Big Pharma may tweet drug side effects. The FDA has proposed a new set of social media guidelines that will require drug companies to tweet their product's side effects to the world, this coming from the Wall Street Journal. Though still tentative and with lots of loopholes and questions that, again, in all of these cases, in all the articles and all the news stories we mentioned, we provide the links for you. Go read them for yourself and do more research for yourself. This is all still tentative, and the proposal would make it so that all the benefits and the side effects of a company's product, even the most dangerous ones, would need to be condensed in a single 140-character tweet. If a firm, quote, concludes that adequate benefit and risk information, as well as other required information, cannot all be communicated within the same tweet, then the firm should reconsider using Twitter for the intended promotional message, end quote, the FDA wrote in the regulations. It should be noted that the guidelines won't actually stop pharmaceutical companies from tweeting about their drugs or devices if they can't fit all the info in a single tweet, which seemingly throws out everything I just said. If they want to remind customers that their products exist, they'll still be able to do so. But the minute they include a product's benefits, the tweet will also have to include a long list of side effects. This is sort of the similar setup that we kind of have in the States as far as public broadcasting goes. You can have underwriting, but you can't tout it as being the best, greatest, will make your life better kind of product. It just has to say, here's a product, it exists, it's for headaches. Continuing, the guidelines, James, won't just affect Twitter because they'll require companies to contact bloggers to ask for changes to articles that contain misinformation. Wikipedia will also be affected, as companies will now be asked to alter pages relating to their products if they contain false labeling details. If approved, these guidelines could go into effect in as quick as 90 days. James, this is a bizarre story, like I said, with lots of loopholes and catches, but I like it as just a story that helps illustrate all the bizarre areas and tightropes that we walk, especially when you run organizations that for generations have been involved in eugenical process to wipe people out. I like the idea of them not having to tweet because Vioxx will probably kill you rather than help you.
Well, I certainly share that feeling, and trust me, no one is more opposed to Big Pharma and the crap that they churn out than myself. But I, as always, I'm worried about what is done in response to that, because that can be a bigger tyranny than the tyranny that it's trying to confront. And this is a potential example, or at least a step down that road. The part that gets me is the fact that now companies will be required to contact bloggers to ask for changes to articles that, I mean, so is it the positive obligation of these companies to be searching for this information and finding it and contact, or when they come across this information, they have to contact the blogger? How are they going to determine that? Again, that's a really strange thing, and I'd like to see how that actually will be applied, because again, that's a pretty horrific precedent if the government can come along and say you have a positive obligation to be constantly searching for anything on the web that has to do with this product, and you have to then, you know, correct that information. That's insanity. So again, I have to come back to the fact that, you know, I mean, when we are in this FDA system where the government gets to approve everything and the government gets to say what can or can't happen, then it becomes this governmental obligation to regulate these companies by telling them what they can or can't do. Whereas, once again, if we didn't have an institution like that and it was up to us to be responsible for what we were putting in our bodies, then it would be our problem what information we choose to accept or not accept. We would be the ones who would have to actually vet what's going on, and there would be consumer advocacy groups that would rise up that would try to feed people information, and the ones that did the best job of that would rise to the top. Again, I think that's an infinitely better system than what we have right now, but anyway, we'll have to see again how this actually applies in the real world, because as you say, there's so many facets and loopholes and things here that it's going to be interesting to see how this actually applies. Like, might I say, there's a parallel perhaps to that situation in Europe, where now Google is having to take down links that people ask them to if they contain information about themselves that they don't like. That's a weird situation that's going to have a lot of ramifications for the future of the internet.
interesting you should mention that. And in closing, as we wrap up this episode 198 of The New World Next Week, I would at least hope for the quickest positive, if these sort of pharma tweets actually had to happen, that it would instantly turn into a situation like we covered a couple of months ago, I think, the hashtag MyNYPD, where these ham-handed corporate social media campaigns are completely overtaken and exposed by all the people who don't really buy their crap anymore. Mentioning Google removing links, one of those situations precisely is related to some of the New World Next Week updates that we have. And we invite folks to submit stories to us for these shows using hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter. There's way too many things that have been tweeted out using that in our couple of weeks' absence, but some of the few things that have been going on that I always am interested in following, some of our best tweeters like at GJ Salisbury and Ophelia PG are following the UK pedophilia situation, which to me looks like, again, I'm too optimistic sometimes, could bring down the whole corrupt garbage establishment. So some of the links that Google had to recently take down concern whether you would Google some of the names connected to what could be called Operation Fernbridge. And this concerns the Westminster child abuse dossier. Oops, the files went missing. And so much more coming out about the politics and pedophilia in the UK and the hashtag PIE, that would be the Pedophile Information Exchange, the shadowy 70s group connected to these abuse scandals that, James, we have reported on recently here on New World Next Week. One of the other big stories that blew up in everyone's face was the Facebook emotion experiment that tweeted again by our friend GJ Salisbury. 1.7 million Snowden documents withheld by Glenn Greenwald will be released by July 18th. James, do you have any exciting reactions to that?
Oh, yay. All right. So on Operation Fernbridge, I just recorded an interesting conversation with David Smith, Geneva Business Insider, that will be being released after this video. So you can look forward to that. And yes, we'll all be waiting with bated breath to see what Greenbacks and Snowjob release. All right. I think that's about it. Anything else on your side?
The last thing I would mention is something I know I'm excited about, and that's actually the new album from Morrissey. I think he's one of the few folks who consistently puts out overt political statements on the pop landscape, James, and his new album that comes out next week is called World Peace Is None of Your Business.
Very interesting. All right. Well, I'm sure you will have more to say about that when that drops, so we'll be looking forward to that. And once again, James, Evan Pilato, always an interesting three stories, so thank you again for your time this week.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.